Good morning, good afternoon, whatever time of day it is that you are listening, folks. Thank you very, very much for listening. Today is the 27th of September, year of our Lord 2022. Welcome to yet another edition of the Bunt and Cardigan Show presented by The Athletic. I'm, of course, joined by the on-again, off-again man who wears the cardigan, James Edwards III of The Athletic. And in what is essentially James's first day of school, he's real excited. He's got his best fit on. He's got the fresh cut. He gets to sort of put himself in the mode of like, cool, so these are some of the guys I'm going to get to hang out with this year and, you know, get to ask them, so how was your summer? What'd you do? This is what I did. You know, I know you talk to all these guys, you know, some of these guys through the off season still, but at first day of school, that's kind of what it is, right?
Yeah, essentially. Like I haven't been this busy in a while, so it's like, I'm like flustered, but yeah, I mean, it's what you said, the first day of school, everybody's kind of back together. It signals the start of the new season. Mm-hmm. I'm not a big fan of media day because, I mean, as we talked about off camera, like it's a lot of cliches and whatnot, and you're not really going to be able to write anything super interesting just because everybody has the same information, but it is cool just to see the guys and get back in that mode and get your brain going in that direction. It's certainly, it was cool. They have, again, another good group of guys, it seems like. I just got back not long ago, just finished writing. If you're subscribed to The Athletic, I have my most important quotes from Pistons Media Day, which I listed about 10. And then gave analysis on them. I try to leave all the cliche stuff off, like the stuff that you guys really would want to hear. And we'll get to some of that. But yeah, it was weird. I was thinking about potting today. I was like, why does it feel like I haven't seen Nick in a while? I forgot we took last week off.
We did take last week off. Much needed week. I think both of us, it was a load management week for us here at the Bun and Cardigan Show. So we are officially back. We will be back every single Tuesday. Shouldn't take a break probably for a while at this point, because at this point, you know, we got training camp coming up, then preseason. Like, we actually are going to have some stuff to talk about. Before we get into all the media day stuff, I know this is what people have kind of maybe been waiting the most for since we did take last week off. The Pistons have a new basketball player on their team, and they lost two of them. So I feel like we should jump into this first. What do you think?
I agree. I think that's most important. And I also think we should revisit. I believe we did predictions a few weeks ago.
Over unders. Yep.
And your over under was how much news was I going to break? And I think I might have already hit the over.
So it was either half or 1.5. I think I was generous, and I think I did 1.5.
I thought it was 3.5.
Is that what it was?
Because we're already at 3 since then. Challenge, boy.
I didn't think, and to your credit, I didn't think we were going to get a trade this early. You and Chomps co-breaking that. I did not think we were going to get a trade this early. Is it fun? Are you able to kind of go down what was that like for you? How did you kind of, you know, get wind of this? Are you allowed to talk about that? Or would you rather kind of keep that to yourself?
I wish I could share. I wish I could share the story behind breaking the Bogdanovich trade, but I can't.
Yeah, I don't want to put you in a bad spot.
But there is a really good story. You know the story. Very interesting, just the shit that happens in this job. But yeah, I was fortunate enough to, along with Shams, to break that. And the Pistons got a very good basketball player. I have a take for you.
Ooh.
Where does Bogdanovich rank on the Pistons' best players?
I was talking about this
because you can make a case he's the best player right now at this point in time. You could make that case. I'm not going to say that. I'm going to give it to Cade. But you couldn't. I've had some people make the case that Bogdanovich could already be the best player right now. Cade's going to surpass him. Sadiq's going to surpass him. Others are going to surpass him eventually. At this point in time, we're talking about a guy that averaged 19 a game and very efficient shooting. Not a good defender. But offensively, you can make the case he might be the best player right now.
I think that this would require so much thought, and it would require a nuanced take similar to the one that you just gave, that if I started rattling my thoughts on it, I would sound like an idiot. I would say something that I don't mean. Like, what I'm thinking right now is I would put him third because I love Sadiq that much.
No, I think Sadiq's going to be better. Right. Would we say Sadiq is better than Bogdanovich right now based on resume? No,
probably not. Probably not.
What was your first? Go ahead. I was going to ask your initial reaction.
So one question that got asked to me today is, should we expect Bogdanovich to start? And I was like, yeah, wait, I don't know. I actually,
Yes.
I'm asking you. Okay, we should.
Yes.
Okay.
Bogdanovich will start.
Okay, cool.
Assuming he's all healthy. What was your first and initial? Oh, I know your initial reaction, but tell the people your initial reaction.
Yeah, and honestly, I thought that it was going to result in me getting up here on this pod and kind of reverting back to my old ways and just being just a homer, right? A homer Pistons guy. But it turns out most people actually feel this way. From the moment that it happened to right now, the moment that we're recording this, my feelings have not changed. This is only a win, and it feels like a move that a team that is serious would make. And that's not to say that Detroit is going to go out and win, you know, 43 games this year and be a seventh seed. Like, I think at best, they're still at best 9. And I think it may be 10. Like, I still don't really feel like it. But doing this, you address, this is what I texted you. You decongest the logjam up front by getting rid of Kelly, right? Okay, cool. Now that's one less big that we have to worry about. We kind of already have a lot going on right there. One thing I also talked about a few weeks ago is this team about to be like a historically bad three-point shooting team? Well, you went and got Alec Burks, and then you went and got Bogdanovich, and those are two, you know what I mean? Like, those are two reputable three-point shooters. So, yep. Boom,
and then
two
you banked
concerns
on the internal development.
Right. And I think it's funny for Saban, because I'm pretty sure Utah is the team that originally drafted him, right?
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, wasn't he the Tony Bradley?
I believe so.
That's great. That's a great point. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Yep.
And I think also for this Jazz team, Saban Lee? Yeah. Why not?
He's not making the team.
Oh, you don't think so?
No, I think there's a reason that Detroit had to send the Jazz the money that matches perfectly with his, they just have too many guards.
Right. Can I ask you a question about this? I don't, maybe you've talked about this and I just missed it. Okay. Maybe yeah. I don't know something here. And maybe this is just what we talked about. You needed 100 picks. If you're Danny Ainge for Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell, you needed 100 of them. Hell, you even got a pick for Royce O'Neal if memory serves. But when it comes to Bogdanovich, Kelly Olynyk was it. That's all that you needed. You know what I mean? And if that's the asking price, then where was everybody else?
So, yeah. So I think it's a little more nuanced than that, but I get what you're saying. It is. So there's a couple things. The Jazz were seeking first round picks, mm-hmm. to my knowledge, sources tell James, they were unable to get one that made sense for them. And then this was apparently the next best offer. I think it's a little more nuanced than that, simply because, and I texted you this, I think the little hidden gem here is Utah traded a good player to Detroit. Utah in the race for Wembanyama, the Pistons rebuilding. This makes the Pistons better. I think that's a little, like, I you're laughing.
No, you're right. You're so right.
I legitimately think Utah traded it to a team that also has possibilities of landing a top pick to make them a little bit better. Danny Ainge, people forget, drafted Kelly Olynyk, loves Kelly Olynyk.
Yep.
They are very close to my knowledge. I don't know about very close, but they're close to my knowledge.
They have a pre-existing relationship. Yeah.
Yep. And I think just for the setup of their young team that they're trying to build, getting a stretch five is something that they wanted. I agree with you. Like, it seems like Troy just absolutely fleeced them.
Like, he's doing Danny a favor.
It almost felt like Danny was doing Troy a favor.
It's a perspective thing.
They essentially converted. They got a better version of Kelly at the position they needed more. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kelly is the stretch five, put the ball on the floor. Bogdanovich, which they actually need to diminish some of the logjam at the five, they get the stretch four, who could put the ball on the floor. But I think it factors into Danny loves Kelly. Utah needed that type of big. They couldn't get a first that they liked. And Utah sees Detroit as a threat to get Wembanyama.
What are you going to miss most about Kelly Olynyk?
Didn't get to know him very well. Very nice guy, kind of quiet around us. He would give good answers, though. He was like, you ask good questions, he would give thoughtful answers for sure.
Look, he's a good enough dude and a good enough player that it took less than a calendar year of him being on my basketball team where I went from, this is literally the worst day of my life, the day that we signed him, to I kind of like it. I kind of get this Kelly Olynyk experience. I understand it. So he'll always have a little special place in my heart amongst the Pistons lore.
And if you want to just a little inside baseball into just sometimes how harsh this business is, I heard that Kelly had just bought a house in Detroit.
No.
Yeah, obviously people saw he got married, but I had heard he bought a house in Detroit. That's tough, man. One, I kind of question
Why?
why would you
Why?
buy a house in Detroit
Right.
when
Like,
you're a
did you
vet
think you're
on
gonna
a possible expiring deal?
did you think you're gonna I don't know. No
I mean,
disrespect.
he
I'm
really,
happy.
yeah.
You know, happy he was
I'm
comfortable
sure
here.
he'll. I'm sure he can get out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Bogdanovich, the trade isn't official yet. Dwayne and others talked about him today, but I don't think they were supposed to. To my knowledge, as of Thursday, he was still in Croatia. I think he's Croatian, correct?
I think
Not
so.
certain. Yeah. I apologize. He was still in his home country. He just had a kid. He knew he was getting traded, so he stayed home until it got situated. So my guess is he probably took the physical today or will tomorrow, and it'll be announced and we'll talk to him soon. But at the end of the day, the Pistons trying to turn a corner, got the best basketball player in the deal who is on an expiring contract, the guy who slots into their starting lineup and adds much needed spacing. So, I mean, it's about as good of a trade as you can get if you're Troy Weaver on just on the kind of like ground level surface.
Yeah. One final question. We'll move on to media day stuff. I'm pretty sure 95% of us are on the same page with this. I know that 5% exists though, because I got a few texts about this, answered a few questions over the last week to a point where I was like, people are talking about this a lot. Am I the one that's crazy? So I saw a lot of people being like, oh, are we just going to now, use him in like a Kemba trade, or are we going to be flipping him at the deadline? And I was like, no, I'm pretty sure we're just playing this out because it makes complete sense for him to be on this team. That's the take,
The
right?
Pistons want him.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
The
Yeah.
hope is that he plays well enough and the Pistons maybe exceed a couple little more expectations and they re-sign him. Like that is
Right.
they would like to bring him back if all things go well. But if it doesn't go well, and he plays well, that's a pretty good trade chip to have at the deadline. And let's put the Kemba stuff to bed. Kemba is not going to be a Piston when the season
Right.
starts.
Right. Okay.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Sorry about that. Okay. Media day was today. James, you wrote the story. You got some memorable quotes there. For us. Now, I did tell you I was busy. I was streaming when Media Day was happening. I know none of the quotes. Can you rattle off? I don't want you to ha give away, I don't want to blow up your spot here, make you give away all the good quotes, all the goodies in there, right? But give me something. Give me a taste. What was going on there? What was
Yeah,
the energy?
I'll give you a couple of things that I thought was interesting. Troy talked about when talking about the roster, he sees it as at ground zero, which I thought was makes sense, but I like the way he used it. He gave credit to Ed Stefanski when before Troy got there, starting to clean up the books, and starting to shift things around.
Yep.
Troy has spent his first, is this his third year or second? This
This
is
is
his third or
Troy's
fourth
third
year,
year. Troy's
third
third
year.
year.
He spent the first 2 years adding talent. This is his quote. We were trying to figure out when I first got here who was going to be keepers, contracts, and just trying to dig ourselves out of a hole. Like I said, Ed and his group did a tremendous job of starting to get the books in order. We continued that. Our books are in a great place now. We're out of the red. I like the players we have. We have a lot of good veterans who will solidify things for us and keep us level. You go from the red to the black, and the only way to do that is get level. I feel like we're at level ground right now. I'm calling it ground zero. So hopefully we can take a step forward. So I agree. I've been trying to tell people that. I know people are excited about the young group, but that's kind of what I've been preaching is they're finally in a position where you look around the roster, there's nothing but potential and solid NBA veterans. Now you let that group grow together and you let them learn on the fly, you let them figure it out, and that's where they are. They're no longer big contracts on the books. There's no longer they got the most cap space coming up. They got young contracts. Like they're in a healthy position. That's ground zero. Now it's about building on that and really starting to try to be competitive every single night.
The seeds have been planted. We're waiting to see how high the tree can grow. You know what I mean? We're still
Yeah.
watering it every day. I'm just excited for in a couple months when the Caris LeVert trade happens, because if we talk about Troy bringing in Bogdanovich, with the hope that he can re-sign him in the future. We'll add Bogdanovich to the list of guys that Troy just like, he prefers trading for these guys so he can sometimes get their bird rights. And then he has first dibs on paying them in free agency. It's pretty well documented on this show. We've talked about it a lot. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Well, then if
I don't know if there's going to be a Karras trade, but yeah.
Well, I don't know because for the last year and a half, you've been like, I don't know, Karras LeVert 2023 or sorry. Yeah 2023, yeah. Something to look out for. That means we're going to trade for him first.
I feel like there was a point in time, I think, as I hinted at in writing, that Karras would be of interest if he became a free agent. Yes.
Hmm.
So another thing that, just a minor thing, I asked Ivy last time we saw you, left Summer League with an ankle injury. Did that cause you to miss any time beyond that? Said he just missed Summer League, did his rehab while he was in Vegas. He was back to normal once they left Vegas.
Nice.
So anybody that was worried about what notoriously has haunted Pistons fans for the last few years, injuries in the off season. Ivy appeared to not really have any hiccups.
Did you get to see the teals in person? Did you get to see those?
No, they rocked the whites. They rocked the whites.
That's too bad.
You want some Killian stuff?
Heck yes. Fourth year option. Stand up, baby.
All those guys had their fourth years picked up. Killian, I know at one point during the offseason the plan was to get up 1,000 shots per day. How do you feel about your shot coming into the season? I'm very confident in my shot. I worked on it all summer. I tweaked some things. I worked with different shooting coaches. I'm just excited, feeling very confident overall. That was one of the quotes of my story. Is again, I try to get the cliches out of there, but I try not to use quotes that had cliches. But him saying he tweaked some things and worked with different shooting coaches, I think it's something that fans will be able to monitor throughout the year.
And it gave me chills hearing it. So if that's an indictment, that we should be pretty excited for that. Can I ask, there hasn't been a lot of discussion. Maybe you pulled a good quote from him today. I don't know. What's going on with Hamidou? I'm not too sure about where he's supposed to sort of fit in stylistically here.
He's going to be fighting to be in the rotation.
Right.
That's going to be where he's at. I've heard he's had a good summer, but he's going to be one of those guys. I don't want to say on the outside looking in, but he's going to have to fight for a rotation spot. So we did talk to him today. I asked him actually if he actually considered changing number six, because as you guys know, with Bill Russell, nobody else can wear number six, but if you had six, you can keep it. Hami said he did for a little bit, but he said he got to know Bill Russell. I think he said they had dinner together in Charlotte when he was in the dunk contest. And he thought that was kind of the best way to honor him was to keep wearing it and keep him motivated and to be the last Piston to ever wear six. He's like, that's something that could be motivating as well.
Yeah, sure.
But in terms of basketball, I think Hami's going to be Hami, and you wonder if it's going to be enough for him to crack the rotation. But Dwayne made a great point. He's like, it's no more letting guys play through mistakes every single night. Like, we are deep with young players at almost every position. So if you're not, doing well, it's time to look over your shoulder and put somebody in who's
someone else's
age.
Ready. Someone
else is ready. It's going to be the year of opportunities. Nobody except maybe a select few are going to be on this, are guaranteed a ride on the train going forward. And Dwayne said he has a starting lineup in pencil, not pen.
God, haven't heard a Caseyism in a while. I love that.
It's that time of the year.
Yeah. Can I really quick? I don't want to forget to do this. A slight sidetrack. We'll get back to this in just a second. I was writing this down during the Michigan State Washington game a week ago. I think this has been pretty well documented. I just need to, just so everybody, I wrote down four real RG3 quotes from that broadcast. Just speaking of Caseyisms, we now have RG3-isms.
Okay. Let's hit it. Let's get it.
Formations are cheap. Plays are expensive.
That was good.
He may be a lefty, but he throws just right. They say a dog is a man's best friend. Well, he just found his dog in the end zone. Yeah. Getting up now, of course, I have to say this because Michael Penix was Washington's quarterback, right?
Shout out to Michael Penix.
Dude's got a cannon.
He's good.
Getting out the way of that big Penix energy. Well, Robert Griffin III, this is a family broadcast. Maybe relax a little bit. he's been going crazy in the booth because he was doing it during the Michigan game. His the little mannerisms that he has are insane. But anyways, back to the Pistons.
He had there's a Origi in the end zone during the Michigan game. I think it was one or two. Yeah, he's been in his bag. But that was, we've had a lot of crazy tangents in this episode, in this history of this podcast. That might be up there.
What? It was on track. It was the same thing. It was, we were talking about Caseyisms and crazy things.
It's just a little commercial break. Yeah. We're going to take a commercial break to give you RG3isms.
Yeah. And I'm right back to the Pistons thing. So we talk about the age of these guys. And I think what's so nice is they're all within like 5 years of each other, like most of them.
And that was something. Go ahead. No, go ahead. Finish.
Well, what's so nice about that is it makes it so much easier for them to go on these little, you know, team field trips and stuff like that, like they've been doing over the last few weeks, you know, seeing a bunch of pictures of at all these different, you know, exhibits, museums, wherever it is that there are, or they are rather. And it just feels so cool, man, because it almost just feels like they're like a college team. Like they're just always hanging out and, you know, building chemistry. And it just makes it so easy to be like, man, like, this is a team, like they, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So that was one of the angles I took in terms of my asking questions going into media day. I didn't write about it because it seems a little cliche, but I was genuinely curious, like, just because you're the same age as somebody, or you guys are coworkers, that doesn't mean you have to like each other.
Yeah.
That's not what that means. But there is, from the outside looking in, it does seem like this team genuinely enjoys each other. And Isaiah Livers is like, man, like we're close top to bottom. And I asked Kate, I was like, where does that closeness, where is it going to benefit you guys the most? And he said, he thinks when it comes to adversity, he said, when you lose games, those flights home suck. Yeah. Those conversations suck. He's like, but if you love that guy next to you, you're going to have those talks and have those conversations because you want to make each other better. So that was the theme I had throughout media day. Cause NBA teams, like, they get together, but like this team seems, like you said, college-y close.
Yeah.
I even asked Troy about it, and he's like, yeah, of course, that's like part of the culture. And he's like, and I say it again, like, this is part of why we draft people instead of players. And it helps bring that camaraderie out of a unit. And I think it's certainly something that I think it's a benefit without question right now. But I wonder, I'm always curious to see, like, if everybody is super close and one thing goes wrong, how does that unravel?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they handled the Hamidou thing pretty well last year, it felt like. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, I agree. And it sounds like, again, everybody, it's an open room and people right. can have conversations. But it definitely was something that came up, is how much time these guys spent, whether team sanctioned or on their own accord, how much time they spent together.
Didn't they have a players meeting last year too? When we had lost like 100 games in a row.
Yep. After the Washington game on Valentine's Day, and then they went and beat Boston before the deadline. Before the All-Star break.
The double swat with Isaiah. Right, with Isaiah and Cade when they both swatted Jaylen Brown.
In Boston.
Right. Yep. Yeah. Okay. Last thing, we'll wrap up on this. A little bit shorter of an episode today, but hey, folks, we're back.
There's not going to be – it's media day. There's not a ton to talk about. Again, right. If you want to read the best quotes, it's on The Athletic. Even camp's going to kind of stink because we don't get to watch camp.
Can't watch, right.
Yeah. But we'll have our first preseason game. Actually, we'll already have a pod out. Maybe we push back next week's pod to Wednesday so we can talk about the preseason game.
Maybe that's what we'll do. Yeah. And there will be it should be the next episode. We should have like an official fantasy league update. So don't worry, guys. We have not forgotten about that. That is still a thing, obviously. But the thing I want to wrap up on, it's kind of fun. Has there been any because again, I didn't get to see any pictures or anything. We know that Cade has a beard now, which looks awesome. But is there any other, you know, any new tattoos from anyone different, you know, cutting their hair, anything? Anything I need to know?
Killian's full sleeve we saw it.
Yep.
Anybody else was on anything different? Corey just had a kid.
Nice.
Hami had a kid, I believe, or just got married, one of those two. Is there anything? Sadiq didn't come in with the braids.
I'm just happy he's here.
Just the corner braided.
I'm happy they got him down from those damn mountains.
When I see Cade, I don't see the weight gain doesn't like smack you.
Yeah.
But his shoulders are broader. Like I notice it in his shoulders. I thought Sadiq lost some weight. His face looked a little slimmer. I asked him I was like, did you lose weight just doing all this? And he's like, no, but I was curious if I would. He said, I noticed that my body fat went down, but I didn't technically lose any weight.
Okay. Wow. Huh.
But I thought he looked a little slimmer, like in a good way.
Yeah.
Isaiah still ripped. Duren still looks like a man child.
When Isaiah saw you, was he like, oh, it's James Edwards III from the Bun and Cardigan Show presented by The Athletic, my favorite podcast. Is that what he said?
He actually wore he was supposed to wear his jersey and just wore the hoodie instead. Yeah, it was nice. Didn't even ask him to do that. Kevin Knox. Nice guy.
I'm sure.
Nice guy.
I believe that.
Enjoyed talking to him.
Yeah.
Same with Nerlens Noel. I'm gonna enjoy covering Nerlens Noel. Nice and like insightful guy. He said he loved Ben Wallace growing up. Nice. He's like, there's a reason I couldn't wear number three when I got, he loved Ben.
Yeah. It's plantar fasciitis, right? With Nerlens.
Oh yeah. We'll probably talk about that. Yeah.
Excuse me, folks.
Yes. Plantar fasciitis. He's going to be limited in camp. Knox is also going to be limited in camp. Alec Burke is not going to be evaluated until 3 weeks from now. He had foot surgery, he said, in April. I've heard it through NBA circles that the Knicks
did they hide medical shit stuff? Sorry,
I don't know as it pertains to Detroit. I will say that. So this don't quote me on that, but I have heard that there are people around asking questions about if the Knicks were always being truthful.
Did we get a raw deal?
No, I still think they would have did the deal. I mean, Burke should be ready for the start of the season, but people in NBA circles it's come up. I'm not sure. Listen, aggregators, all that stuff.
Leon Rose, you scumbag.
To my knowledge, actually, I don't know. All I'm going to say is it's been a conversation. I still think Detroit goes through with the deal, but I mean, he passed the physical.
Right.
So it is what it is.
I was going to say at this point, yeah.
The Knicks and their content day, they strike again.
Well, if you Knicks that trade, what do we lose? The Charlotte pick, right?
No, I don't think that was. No, that was a separate deal.
Okay.
Because they did two different deals. Burks and Noel were for.
Because the way that all played out, I never understood it. There were so many teams
pushed into
parts.
One. Because Kemba, yeah, they might have. I don't remember how it was. It feels like it was a year and a half ago. It was like 2 months ago. But,
Well, you got an album pick, James?
Yeah, we do.
We do.
You go first.
Okay, I'm gonna go with JID, The Forever Story. That might be the album of the year.
I think you did that two pods ago.
No, I couldn't have because I don't think it was out yet. Even if I did, I'm just to emphasize that it is the album of the year. I'm going to do it again.
Okay. I respect it. I'm going to go with, I've been listening to this dude from London, Central C. He has some bangers. Shout out to Central C. I wanted to give him a shout out.
Big UK drill guy.
Yeah, but he has some bars. I'm going to go with Your Old Droog, Yod Stewart, Fire. Freddie Gibbs dropping at the end of the week. It's going to be a banger.
Yeah. That Megan Thee Stallion, Traumazine, banger album, too.
Rome Streets, Kiss the Ring coming this week, too. I can't wait for that.
Went and saw Pearl last week.
Pearl Jam?
No, not Pearl Jam. I'm not Bill Simmons.
Pearl from SpongeBob?
No, Pearl from A24, like the movie, you know? The one that's garnering critical acclaim.
You know, hey,
This is I'll show this to you off the pod. Alrighty, ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, be sure to rate 5 stars, leave a review, subscribe only if you're feeling generous. If you're listening to this on Spotify, only then. If you're listening to this on Spotify, you can also leave 5 stars.
I feel like we're missing something.
I agree. But
we covered,
you know,
Bogdanovich. We rushed through Media Day, but what else are we like going to talk about? If you want to read more about Media Day, go to The Athletic.
We're getting the rust off. Hey, let's just get this out of the way. Michigan State is dead to both of us. I'm not watching them the rest of the year.
I'm watching just the Michigan game.
I'm not even sure if Michigan's going to win by 100 points.
We would have said that 2 years ago too.
I tell you what, it's either fire the DC and I'll watch, or stop being loyal to Peyton Thorne, even though the Washington game was not his fault. He played great in that game, but I turned it off before Minnesota even scored their second touchdown. So if you start Noah Kim it'll supersede everything. Lose by 100. As long as I get to watch Noah Kim, I'll watch. Otherwise, I'm not doing it.
Yeah, shout out Noah Kim. I turned it off after they scored first. I already knew what this was.
Shout out to Kenneth Walker. He is owed 90% of that extension.
Yeah. He actually had a nice nice play for Seattle. I think he made his debut this week, and he had a good rush.
He did play last week, but he was a little banged up.
Oh, did he? Okay. He had a good play on Sunday. Shout out to Kenny. He looked good. I missed him.
We will catch you guys in the next one.
Peace.